Republicans in the state capitol are enforcing a ban on recording public hearings there. The crackdown comes after a nonprofit Capitol Broadcasting Service shut down. It's Tuesday, January 20th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a new lawsuit says a central Wisconsin school district sent police to a parent's home over a social media post. And we'll look at how immigrants living in Wisconsin are feeling 1 year into Trump's second term.
This situation is getting worse and worse, and unfortunately, we're just waiting for the worst.
Stay with us.
Hello, it's Michelle Martin. At Morning Edition, we bring you the news of the day, but also conversations about art.
The piano was where I left all of my words and all of my stories and all of my pain.
Scientific findings.
In total, I think we looked at over 500 specimens. That's a lot of poop.
And stories that make you smile. Start your weekdays informed and inspired with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Republican state lawmakers are enforcing rules that ban members of the public from recording legislative hearings inside the state capitol. As Joe Schultz reports, this comes in the wake of Wisconsin's version of C-SPAN going offline.
Both the state Senate and Assembly have rules barring members of the public from recording proceedings. Credentialed members of the media are allowed to record. The stricter enforcement of the recording rules comes after nonprofit Public Affairs Network Wisconsin Eye went offline last month. Greta Neubauer is a Democrat and the minority leader in the Assembly. She says Republicans have blocked recordings in committee hearings.
We did not see this rule enforced that people could not record in committees previously. For some reason, it is now being enforced by the majority party.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says thousands of bills passed in the legislature before Wisconsin Eye launched. He says the public is well served by the media reporting on them. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Wisconsin school district threatened a lawsuit and sent police to a woman's home 2 days after she criticized the district on TikTok. Amanda Vogel's video is captioned, "This is why I homeschool." It shows her 4-year-old daughter in a wheelchair sitting on the side of the stage as the other children perform on risers. Vogel uploaded the video of the 2023 concert in December of 2025 after pulling her daughter from the school district of Pittsville in Wood County. The video has nearly 1 million likes. According to school district officials, the video is harassment. 2 days after it was posted, the district sent the parent a cease and desist letter. Corey Brewer is Vogel's attorney.
Criticizing how a public school treats your child is protected by the First Amendment, and government officials can't use police or lawyers to intimidate parents into silence.
District Administrator Jason Knott says the video has led to misunderstandings and threats of violence towards staff members. The USDA recently shared more details about how it will dole out $11 billion in one-time payments to row crop farmers. The aid is meant to offset trade disruptions, high production costs, and low crop prices in 2025. Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer has the details.
The payment rates are based on the number of acres farmers planted last year, along with estimated production costs and prices for specific commodities. An analysis by the American Farm Bureau shows the Midwest and Corn Belt states will receive over 60% of the funding. Nick Paulson, an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, says the one-time payments will provide relief to struggling farmers, but it's a short-term fix.
Prices for most row crops have not significantly improved from what farmers are currently dealing with for their 2025 crop, and we don't see production costs declining to the extent needed to get farmers back into the black.
He says crop producers need long-term solutions. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
A newly formed nonprofit group is exploring the creation of a micro-college to continue the mission of Northland College in Ashland, which closed last year. Micro-colleges usually have small enrollments of fewer than 150 students. They offer programs that often focus on academics, self-governance, and work. Jacob Hunt is founder of Thoreau College in Viroqua. He says they offer fall and spring semester programs to small cohorts of 5 to 15 students.
They're also generally very much a place-based, talking about the local culture, the agriculture, the ecology, often connecting with indigenous people in those places.
Hunt says there are at least a dozen similar programs nationwide. Microcolleges are emerging as some schools are closing due to financial headwinds and declining enrollment. A member of the nonprofit group in Ashland says it would still be years before they could enroll students. Coming up, we look at how the Trump administration's aggressive immigration enforcement is affecting Wisconsin communities. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Farad.
We are your hosts of Wisconsin Weekend from WPR News.
Each week, our team works to uncover the stories and events that communities all over the state take pride in.
Our goal is to bring you closer to the unique perspectives and the traditions that make Wisconsin a great place to call home.
Along the way, you'll hear uplifting stories of neighbors in your community making a positive difference.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10.
And finally, today marks 1 year since President Donald Trump was sworn in for his second term. This week, WPR is taking a look at how the administration's policies have reshaped Wisconsin 1 year in. On his first day back in the Oval Office, Trump signed a slew of immigration-related executive actions. The crackdown has continued from there, with massive enforcement operations in cities across America and immigration detentions hitting record highs. As Bridget Bowden reports, immigrants in Wisconsin say they're feeling more afraid than ever.
Soledad Alvarez works a few times a week at the community space in Whitewater, a sprawling warehouse that's part food bank, part community center.
¿De dónde son?
Yo soy nicaragüense.
Ah, mucho gusto.
As people line up to get food, clothes, and household items, Alvarez asks if she can help them with medical appointments or other healthcare needs.
Y yo soy promotora de salud y estoy aquí.
The community space was seeing a growing number of immigrant families since it opened 6 years ago. But in the last year, there's been a noticeable drop.
Tenían miedo de venir a agarrar su comida porque ellos pensaban que podía entrar a ICE aquí.
They're scared to come and get food, says Alvarez, because they're afraid they might run into immigration and customs enforcement. During the last year, the Trump administration has sent large ICE deployments into cities like Chicago and Minneapolis. In the first 10 months of 2025, ICE arrested nearly 1,000 people in Wisconsin, an almost 25% increase from all of 2024. It's been a year of uncertainty, says Juan Sandoval, who is picking out clothes at the community space.
En este último año, todo cambió, radicalmente todo cambió. Todo.
Sandoval came to the U.S. from Nicaragua in 2021. But he says everything has changed in the last year. Now, other than work and basic necessities, his family doesn't leave the house much. He says it's making his kids depressed, and that's hard.
Es difícil estar así.
Whitewater was adjusting to an increased population of immigrants even before Trump began his second term. In late 2023, the police chief sent a letter to President Joe Biden and others pleading for assistance in response to a rapid increase in immigrants arriving to the city. The letter attracted attention from some politicians who said it proved that the U.S. immigration system was broken, and it was even cited in a Trump executive order. It was a difficult time for the immigrant community, says advocate Jorge Islas Martinez. But since then, he says communication with the local police has improved.
If that the Whitewater Police Department is here to protect our community, not to divide the community.
But he says that progress has now been overshadowed by the fear created by Trump's immigration crackdown. He's especially concerned that immigrants are being portrayed as criminals.
Which I don't think is right, because most of us would like to study, to learn English, to work overtime.
According to data from the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, more than 70% of people currently held in ICE detention have no criminal conviction. Islas Martinez says advocates do their best to help people manage their fear by picking up groceries, taking kids to school, and bringing people to the community space.
We go day by day, and this situation is getting worse and worse. And unfortunately, we're just waiting for the worst.
Immigrant advocates have called for an end to the federal 287G program, which allows local law enforcement agencies to partner with ICE in various ways. They argue it creates a pipeline from contact with local law enforcement to deportation. The Kewaunee County Sheriff's Department signed on to that program last year. Sheriff Matt Joski says he believes it allows the department to maintain their pre-existing relationship with ICE.
It is nothing more than the enforcement of the law.
While Trump's crackdown differs from past administrations' approaches, he believes federal immigration authorities are largely targeting criminals. Still, Joski says laws could be changed to better support law-abiding immigrants living and working in the state.
I hope that at some point, some legislator somewhere can get together with a group and say, let's look at some comprehensive immigration reform where we can treat the families, these people that are working hard, trying to make a life here. We got to be able to treat them differently than we would gangs and violent criminals.
But in the near term, there's likely more enforcement to come. ICE and Border Patrol are set to receive an additional $170 billion between now and 2029. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Tomorrow, we'll have a story on the impact of cuts to the federal workforce in Wisconsin. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. A cold weather advisory in effect for northeastern Wisconsin counties this morning. Sunshine to start the day, but clouds building throughout, with highs only getting into the single digits and wind chills below zero today. A winter weather advisory kicks into effect overnight in southeastern Wisconsin, where we could see 2 to 4 inches of snow. Elsewhere, pretty cloudy overnight, with lows in the single digits. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.